Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, April 5th, and we have a great show waiting for you right here on LA Talk Radio. I'm joined by Tori.
Yes.
This morning. It's Tori Shulman, not just any Tori. It's a specific Tori.
It's not the Labour Party from British
right.
England.
She's
yeah.
not Torish. She's
no,
just Tori.
That's right, people. With a Y. Why? Because I love you.
Oh, there you go. You know. So that comes from Victoria, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And my name was given to me because I was victorious. They didn't think I would survive.
Why?
So,
did you have complications?
My mom was diagnosed with Gaucher's disease, which, if you don't know, is a very Ashkenazi Jewish disease, actually, in the population.
Is that what they check you for before you get married to...
For Jews, yeah.
For
you
Jews,
do, yeah. And it
right?
just took a blood test, but her whole life she was sick. And get this, she married my dad, and 2 weeks after they got married, she stopped walking. So she was in bed, and they couldn't figure out why. They went to 3 back surgeries, 2 hip surgeries. Finally, they said she had housewife syndrome.
Wow.
Meaning like she's just bored. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Yeah. And I was like, man,
oh my God.
Talk about sexism, motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know, excuse my language, but come on. So she's in terrible pain. She's watching Star Trek. That's all she can handle. And finally, she gets pregnant with me, and she's they do a regular blood test, and a doctor comes in and says, oh, you have Gaucher's disease. It's a genetic disease you've had since you were literally born. Mm-hmm. It's a metabolic enzyme deficiency disorder. Mm-hmm. And your daughter or son will die within like the first 2 months. They'll die. So, and here's a brochure and bye.
Wow.
And they said he walked out of the room.
Really?
And they like flipped out and they didn't know what to do. And they called all around. And luckily we live in DC and NIH, National Institute of Health, is right down the street, basically. Not front, literally, but it's like, half an hour away. They were doing a study on Gaucher's disease, and they called and they went directly from that doctor to that NIH. And she was the 12th out of a 12 study guinea pig. It turns out I was not going to die. Great. So it was victorious.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Victoria.
What a story.
Yeah.
You're a hero even before you were born.
Yes. And get this. They invented an enzyme, which is an IV my mom gets once a week at home with her nurse, Barbara, who I grew up with. And it has the enzyme. So she walks now.
Really?
Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. How do we get my mom to get off her chair, for crying out loud?
Yeah, well...
You know that my brother calls me yesterday. He says, Dad fell again,
oh,
right?
Oh, no.
Now, my dad has Parkinson's. He can barely walk.
Right.
I told him, look, don't even... I said, don't walk around without your walker. He's like, but it's only a few steps.
I know, it's hard
to lose from the couch to there.
I said,
all it takes is one step to fall.
I know, but imagine someone telling you not to step.
I know. And it's hard to accept.
So hard.
And it's very gradual, so you don't feel it happening. But the point is, and we saw it on the camera, you know, we have security cameras for my parents. He just fell straight on, you know, on his front. He didn't hit his face, thank God.
He just fell free.
Yeah, forward. And, you know, I mean, older people are heavy. They're big. You know, it's hard to pick them up.
Very hard.
We saw the caregiver run to him, and she called my brother, and then he was there in a few minutes. And
that's good.
Yeah, luckily, he lives very close to
them. My grandmother had caregivers, and they couldn't lift her at the end. Just like you said, she goes kind of limp, and it's really hard to lift.
Right.
And they were all women. So we bought a lift that you can put them in. It's like a swing, and it lifts them up, and then it rotates to the bed.
Oh, wow.
So look into it. It was only, I mean, it was expensive, but not as crazy as you'd think.
Yeah.
It's called like an elderly lift. I know that sounds really inappropriate.
I know. It's like you probably have to put like a strap under them and then lift
it, right? Yeah, it's just like a swing,
right?
But my grandmother wasn't really all there at the end, and she was sort of like a stand-up like me, and she would be like, whee! She just loved the swing. So she totally enjoyed it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But aging parents, not fun, man.
No, it's
not
hard.
Fun. Yeah.
Compassion is needed so much more than you'd think, and during that time, for yourself included.
Right.
Caregivers included.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Oh, well.
But at least you still get to hang out and talk to them.
Yes, yes. And I love them to death. Yeah. And they are just about every day.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But to see him fall on camera,
oh, my God.
It's pretty
Is it a
stressful.
Black and white camera?
No, it's a very good, colorful camera.
Oh, like HD?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Because that's all the cameras you get today. They're all like
that's true. I'm picturing like 1991.
Yeah. No. This
I'm picturing like surveilling. Okay? You know, what's funny is we have a pet camera set up and it's like perfect crystal clear HD. And I'm picturing like night vision on your dad.
Right. Sorry. But there was no night vision.
No, I know. I don't
although
know why.
Although we do have it. But but this was during the day.
I don't know why I'm picturing that.
I know.
You know, does he have a walker?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I told him, don't move even a step without the walker.
Yeah, but it's still hard for people.
Yeah, they forget.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move to better things. This morning, as opposed to every morning, where I usually have CNN.com in front of me, I have FoxNews.com in front of me. And the thing is, I was looking for a story on Bill O'Reilly, and I don't find one here.
Did you hear? That's good. It's not there, is it?
No, so but yesterday, CNN, they have a story.
Right.
So go ahead.
So yesterday, we were talking. We said, you know, Mercedes-Benz is pulled out of advertising because of some another lawsuit involving Bill O'Reilly for sexual harassment. We said, oh, maybe it's going to show. It's going to be a big thing. It got to four advertisers. We're up to 15 that
really?
Have pulled their ads. And what happens in advertising is, just like you said, Sam, one goes, they all go. You can't be seen as the one that's sticking by the sexual harasser. So anyway, they've lost 15 of their biggest. And Trump can't speak out for Bill O'Reilly because it's sexual assault month.
Right.
So it's like it could not be worse for him. So I'm so excited.
Wow. And so many, and he's shut. Many women up with money, right?
Yeah.
With settlements.
Oh,
and
yes.
Stuff.
Yeah. Like, and
so this is not
so is
new.
Roger Ailes. Yeah. So this is like, I think, the fifth lawsuit,
right.
And $15 million for this one to go away. So it's just been, and then Roger Ailes has gone up to $100 million or so with lawsuits.
So
as I said before, it's just a culture that you have in that particular area. You see it happen again and again, and it's not a pattern there's a pattern for a reason.
Well, you know, the thing is this: look, you can blame the organization. I blame the character of those guys.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I don't think it represents Fox. I'm not defending Fox, but all I'm saying is I'm one for people taking accountability and responsibility.
I agree, but when
you know?
Your CEO is doing that,
right? But he's got
it does
problems.
Trickle,
I mean,
no, but that trickles down into if that's okay to do, then it's okay for me to do. Does happen.
Yeah, but you don't know that O'Reilly did it because Ailes did it.
Yeah, he's just a creepy dude.
Or Ailes? Is it Ailes or Ailes?
Roger Ailes.
Okay, I
like
don't
he's
know.
Ailing my heart.
Right.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
but the point is that Bill O'Reilly, you would think. Hey, you did it once, you did it twice.
Yeah.
Maybe you couldn't help yourself, but to keep doing it.
I know. How about, and this is to be fair, just like a GOP, I got to be honest, I know I'm a bleeding heart liberal, but I got to give it up. Anthony Weiner on the liberal side keeps showing his wiener.
Right.
And you know what? You did it once, you did it twice.
And you keep doing it.
You keep doing it, you got an issue.
Exactly, right?
So there's an issue there, yeah.
There's an issue. And that's the thing, when your CEO does it, like at Fox News, you question his judgment.
Right. And then you'd question who he's hiring. You question a lot of his judgment.
Right.
So it trickles down, you know?
Yeah.
The CEO is like Steve Jobs tried to say, is sort of the important part of the culture. It kind of trickles down.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think if it was a part of a culture, you'd see a lot more of it. You know, not
just
Bill
O'Reilly. No, I think there is more, but he's getting the most. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Also, by the way, Steve Bannon was taken out of the National Security Council today.
Right.
And
what is that about?
We don't know, but I'm excited to find out.
I'm sure.
Super excited. He should have been in there first place.
Right.
And then another thing that's coming into play, obviously there was a terrible chemical attack in Syria that I think we should address. And about 69 people died, including children, and it was caught on video, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And Assad is saying he didn't have anything to do with it. And he often says that. But Trump has a press conference today, and I'm sure we'll be discussing that. So
good. I'm really curious to see what he's going to say, right?
It was awful to see. Like, the front page of the New York Times is a kid with the mask, and you saw kids writhing. It was horrible.
It is. It's a horrifying death.
Graphic.
And for Assad to say he didn't do this when he has a record of doing it.
Right, and he always says he does it.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about CEO in a culture.
Right.
That's where that comes from. So we pray for the Syrians. We pray for those children. It was, it, and the world ignited on, you know, usually the world doesn't really pay attention because this is, oh, Aleppo, same thing over and over again. This was kids like in the street. It couldn't have been more like on crowdsourcing. Right. That's the power of having a mobile phone, because people caught it live on video.
But why don't I see the outrage in social media? I've seen nothing about it on Facebook.
Really?
Nobody talks about it.
I have it all over my
really
feed. See, that's where the, I know, but yeah, that is curated for what I read, though. Facebook is curated for what I talk about only. So you,
oh, okay.
It's interesting.
No, I mean, I have 5,000 people that I'm connected with that I'm seeing
that's
from.
You know what? That's interesting that you haven't seen that.
I don't see a lot of it at all.
Wow.
On Facebook. And
wow.
And I'm
well,
thinking
that's a shame.
People are thinking about less important things, you know.
Well, yeah.
But maybe because it's not in the media, or it is in the media,
front
but
page.
I don't know. I know.
But this is our I'm holding
but
up a newspaper.
But who's ignoring it? I don't know what's going on.
Well, hopefully Trump will say something. I don't like him at all, but I hope he'll at least address it. There is a press conference later today. And you know he's always good on camera to see what happens. He is.
Yeah, good. But we'll see. I mean, I'm curious to see that now he's got his...
He has to say something.
Yeah, he has to say something that's different from Obama and follow up on it,
right,
too. And let's see what he's going
to
do.
And, you know, he and Assad, it's hard for him to... He has to take a hard line on Assad, and he doesn't want to.
Right.
That's someone he wants to be able to be politically savvy with, and he cannot after
right.
this.
No.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But prayers and thoughts go out. And then, of course, Kendall Jenner. Did you see this ad really quick?
I heard about it.
Yeah, the Pepsi ad. I watched the whole thing. Man, is it tone deaf? What an ass.
It is, right?
Oh.
So what they talk about, like, they show like a riot and stuff,
no,
right?
It's like Black Lives Matter, and they're all singing and dancing, and she's having a photo shoot, and she's like, what's going on, guys? And they're like, peace. She's like, oh, I'm drinking a Pepsi. What's going on? She's like, wait a minute. This matters to me, too. All of a sudden, she rips off her wig and wipes off her lipstick, and all of a sudden, she's walking in the crowd with Black Lives Matter and the peace and everything. She approaches a line of police.
Right.
What does she do?
Yeah.
She hands him a Pepsi. And what does he do? He
smiles.
Drinks. And everyone cheers and hugs. And I'm like, could this not be more condescending?
Whoa.
So the Twitter rehash has been, the backlash has been wonderful for comedy.
Right.
It's just been hilarious.
No, it is. And you wonder, people sit in teams. So how many people actually sat through this and said, yeah,
right,
let's do this?
Sam, that was my one question.
Right?
How many people did not say no to this?
Right.
How many people said this is a good idea?
Right. And that's usually with big failures everywhere, you know? How do you... I mean, I can understand 1, 2, 3 people making a stupid decision. But
even,
you know,
if it was just maybe
people,
like the peace rally, but they get to the line of riot cops,
right,
and he takes the Pepsi and he drinks it.
And they think it's a good
and,
thing,
and you
right?
see people like with dreadlocks like hugging each other. I'm like, this is so condescending.
Yeah,
this could not be more condescending.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola won on this one. I got to be honest. That's not a good ad.
Yeah. I don't like Pepsi anyway.
There you go.
Drinker.
It's just, you know, it compares you immediately to that Coke ad of, you know, the love one that they all sing, the hippy dippy one.
Right.
The famous Coke ad.
Right.
And it compared to this, it's just terrible. It's just a bad situation gone to worse. So anyway, Kendall, with one of the only bad business decisions the Kardashians make, I know people make fun of them, but they often make good decisions in terms of business. They all are bazillionaires for different reasons, but this was a bad decision.
Bad decision.
Yes, I would say this is
okay. All right, I'll go for that. We do have a fascinating guest in the studio. And we're going to get to her in just a couple seconds. I just wanted to bring up a couple things that I think we should.
Yes.
One is, did you hear about the shoplifter? Okay, she was hiding in the dressing room until the shop closed. She figured after everybody leaves, I'll leave with my stuff, right?
Right,
so she tries to leave, but everything's locked. She can't get out of the store after everybody's gone. So she calls 911 to tell them she's stuck there. They come in, arrest her. But one thing she didn't realize, the police were already on the way because she set up the alarm. Set off the alarms. So, I mean, how stupid can you be? You
oh,
know?
God.
And what about all the cameras? You know,
I was going to say, they must have been watching her steal that the whole
right.
time, looking like a jackass.
But that's the thing. A lot of people aren't aware of what's going on. And obviously, someone that makes a decision like this is not very smart. So they don't think about the cameras and all that
stuff.
I know,
but come on. It's 2017.
I know, but it's sad, you know?
Ellen told us once a story on Ellen. It said a criminal was hiding upstairs, and a family was telling a joke, and he laughed at the joke upstairs, so they called the police. It was like a really funny joke. That's a good way to get
oh,
to
whoa. All right. And finally, I have to bring this up. I didn't realize this, but I always suspected that Barry Manilow came out.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
So, yeah, right? So, wait a minute. I mean, this is news, though, right? Or did you know this?
No, no. I mean, he was very much... This is news to people, but he was known to be... Yes.
Right, right. Just the way he would put on the makeup.
He came out for the first time,
and,
yeah. Well, you know,
and the way he talks, right?
I mean, no, I think people knew... I guess maybe it's more of a Hollywood thing, but I knew he was in a long-time relationship with a man.
Very long time.
Yeah, loving relationship.
Tori, 37 years.
Yeah, always heard that, so I thought people knew that.
Is it 37? 39 years. Wow. His manager, Gary Keefe.
And he never came out?
No.
See, that's incredible to
right?
me.
But I guess he revealed, so now he's like on the cover.
I thought people knew.
No.
Maybe it was just me. No, I'm kidding. In Hollywood, people sort of knew that he was in a long-time loving relationship.
Yeah, I know.
With a man. But maybe that was news to like Midwest, like maybe that was news.
It is news. I mean, they're saying it now.
Yeah. And it's, well, he officially came out.
So.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Mazel.
He says he was, you know, afraid of disappointing his fans. Yeah. But
I mean, I guess he is like a panty dropper of old school, like women people. Like he's a lady killer, I guess.
Yeah.
I never saw it, but he's a nice. He's got a sexy little voice, I guess.
Yeah. I always liked his songs.
Oh, he's got a lovely.
Say what you will about
him. No, he's a great. He's a great melody.
Great musician, right?
Yeah. Great pianist. Yeah.
Yeah. Part of the culture, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know. But I don't know. When I look at him now, at least, I'm seeing Liberace or something. You know, I'm seeing that kind of look, you know.
Liberace like, was times 10.
Right. You know, but he was feminine. And I'm seeing the femininity.
And he also had a beautiful sort of like sweet voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, good for him.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen to Barry Manilow.
We celebrate hallelujah.
And we celebrate your authentic self. Woohoo.
Well, without any further ado, folks, we're joined by what promises to be a fascinating woman, Gabriella Van Ray. Welcome to the show,
Woo-hoo!
Ma'am.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, we enjoy very much having you. Are you an LA resident or are you visiting here?
I'm an LA resident.
Really?
Yes.
How long have you lived here? All your life?
No, only 1 year.
Really? Oh, wow. So where did you begin your life?
Ah, okay.
Not a big question, right? Not very complicated.
It is a little bit.
Okay, so if you don't want to get into it,
no, I do.
Okay.
I am born in Pakistan at the foot of the Himalaya Mountains.
Whoa.
I hear it's beautiful, but I don't remember.
Oh, really?
And I was a tiny baby, obviously, when you're born.
But that's fascinating. How many people do you know were born in the Himalayas, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I was dropped off, they think, by my real mother, by my biological mother, in a Catholic orphanage.
What?
But my name was Muslim. You know you can tell that certain names are from certain ethnicities and backgrounds and religions. And so I was born Nasim, which is a very known Muslim name in the whole Middle East for a little girl.
Right.
And the orphanage, which I always kind of tell with a little bit of a joke, but with an undertone, which is they conformed me immediately, the church, by saying, no, you can't have that name. So I was baptized immediately, Gabriella.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But because I'm also a little bit of an opinionated human being. I stuck with the name Gabriella because I said, that's my name. And then people said, are you sure? And I said, yes, it is. And then I was really lucky because 3 years after living in the orphanage with 50 other children, I got adopted.
Wow. This is an incredible story.
So 1966.
Wow. So the odds are pretty slim to be adopted with so many kids around,
the odds
right?
are slim to be adopted in the 60s, period. Most people never heard of adoption in that era. But cross-cultural adoption was totally unheard of. It's like, you know, it's like literally when I went to school, people said, you are what?
Yeah.
What do you say, little girl? Would you just stop lying? Where's your mother?
Wow.
And then I would point at this tall blonde lady, right? And they would go, yeah, sure.
Wow.
So I got punished often.
You must have had very difficult childhood.
It was not
easy. Because you had to find your place in society.
Yes. So my thing is that in 2010, my mom died. My adopted mother died in 2007. And we didn't have a good relationship. And one of the last things that she said to me in the last year of her being alive, she said, you know, if you want to write about it one day, I think that would be awesome.
Really? Wow.
So I felt it was kind of a blessing.
Well, yeah. Of course.
It was kind of saying, you know, I know what you're thinking, even though we don't discuss it. Because we're kind of this prim and proper family, mm-hmm. and the only one that is not prim and proper is
you.
Me.
Yeah.
Moi.
Oh,
wow.
Moi.
Moi.
Yeah. So I grew up speaking Dutch and French, wow. and there's something interesting that people don't know, and listeners don't understand this. I learned to speak Dutch in less than a month.
Wow.
And I have the reason behind it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
How old were you at the time?
Three.
Three?
Wow.
Three and very opinionated because they tried to call me Ellen and I said, no, they already tried that once.
Gabriella.
Let's stick with Gabriella now. Let's not go there.
Yeah, whoa.
And so, but what's funny about the language and the reason I'm saying that is because of the movie Lion.
Mm-hmm.
It took that little boy over a year. And so I was thinking about that. And the reason is, if you ask people that know languages, it's because Urdu, which is derivative of Arabic languages, Arabic and Hindi and a mix of languages together, it's a guttural language. Mm-hmm. Huh.
Right.
Right? Uh-huh. And I'm very good at that.
Right. So you could.
And the Dutch is... Goedemorgen.
Exactly.
Everything is ha.
Their G's are ha.
Oh,
right?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So people forget that because we just think Dutch, yeah, what? You know, most people don't hear Dutch. But Dutch is a very guttural language. And my second husband was French and he always said it's like a throat.
I was going to say, je parle français, oui. It's the same thing.
Yeah,
he said
exactly.
it's a throat disease. And I told your mother that when I'm in Holland, I have to start drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Right, right. And Hebrew is the same way. You know, we have cha.
Cholechet.
Cholechet and that. So many languages are like that, but they sound so foreign to Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we don't use that sound.
Yeah.
But at any rate, listen, so what I'm seeing here is this. You're born into a very tough reality from day one, okay? People try to change your identity. You already know who you are at the age of three. What I'm seeing here is an old soul mm-hmm. that is ready to handle a tough life. Because I'll bet you, from that point on, you've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, right?
Yeah.
Because already I'm seeing you're going to have a tough life ahead of you. So let's move on. Okay, so what happened then?
So basically, in a nutshell, my parents were in a diplomatic circle. And I give you one example because I think that says it all. They had a party and, you know, proud little girl, I said, can I open the door? And this is the era of curtsying.
Sure.
So I curtsied and I had practiced and you know, I extended my hand and everyone shook it except this one lady. Now, I got to say, in my eyes, she was very old. Probably she was my age now. But in my eyes, oh my God, this was the oldest one, right? And she wouldn't shake my hand. And I was so disappointed. You know how when you're a kid, you cannot. I'm not a kid anymore, and I can't hide my disappointment. Anyhow, my face talks, even if I don't say
it. Totally.
A word, right?
Right, right.
You saw that. I saw that.
And I read it. Yeah.
You need to be
and so she wouldn't shake my hand, and so I said, what's wrong? And she said, little girl, you're not very nice. You need to go wash it. And so I remember looking at my brown skin, and I looked at her again, and I said, I can't get it off.
Oh, wow.
You know? And
wow.
And you know how kids are so spontaneous. So I said,
it's not come off. Wow.
And my father was near, and so I turned for help,
sure.
Like you do.
Right.
And I feel, and I say this with the utmost respect, They really failed me.
Mm-hmm.
They failed in protecting me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
he didn't say anything almost.
He shooed me out of the room.
Yeah, yeah. The worst thing you could do.
And so as a child, I feel like, yes, I grew up as a good little Catholic girl. But everything that I asked, you know, like standing at the church door and my mother would say something nasty about the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, didn't that man just inside say that you sh-? And my father would say, run. Run,
mm-hmm.
run,
go!
I can run very fast. By the way,
run away!
And I have a joke that I say. You know, I stayed really short because they kept hitting the top of my head. You know what's with it? And these Dutch are so tall, man. They're cabinets. I mean, I'm telling you,
they're tall.
My mom had a joke. One of her last jokes. She wasn't very good at joking, but I made her a cup of tea, and I said, Mom, why does the tea have to be so high? And she said, you still can't reach it. She said, I'm 80, and you know what? I haven't shrunk. I said, you have, but about an inch. And, you know, it's just really funny. And so I lived with the conformity right. that we have these facades. And throughout my life, they tried. They really tried mm-hmm. to hit it into me. Wow. Have a facade. That's the
put
way
up a
we
front.
Live.
Put up a front.
And I couldn't do it.
Right.
I just couldn't do it.
You're just
it.
A
it's
genuine human being.
I just
now, were you an
I'm
only
me.
Child in that family?
No.
No?
No. I have a brother and sister who, if I'm really honest, are always a little bit nervous when I'm around because they don't know what's coming out of my mouth. And so okay. I learned.
So you're like a firecracker. You're dynamite. You're like a free spirit. You say what you think.
And yeah, we're kind of put into a, preppy white cage.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
And this
right.
is what I talk about. I just wrote an article today, which I hope goes into the New York Times.
New York Times,
and
yeah.
it talks about all these labels. Labels, 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 labels. So I didn't have a label because my dad said, you go to school. I was bullied, of course. And he said, you go back to school. And you tell them that you're Dutch now.
Well, that's not going to work.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
I really believed him. I went there. I stretched my neck and I said, can't you see?
I'm Dutch.
I'm Dutch.
Yeah.
And they looked at me. And then I stamped with my right foot. I see myself doing it. Come on. You can see it. I speak like you. I look like you. I act like you.
Oh,
and
no.
they all just laughed at me. And I remember thinking, I think I prefer being bullied.
Wow.
Because being laughed
that
at
is worse.
Just, yeah, it was
yeah,
worse.
Choose between two terrible things.
Wow.
Gabriella Van Ray is joining us this morning. You guys can follow by going to gabriella.global, and that's where the website is. You're activist for kindness. Wow, what does that mean?
I feel like I'm an instigator of kindness.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
I like that more because I'm definitely kind of a troublemaker.
Okay.
And I like to evoke and provoke thought.
Okay.
In people because I feel that I have maybe I don't have anything earth-shattering to bring the world. But what I have to bring is that I look at life from a total different angle than most of us do. I feel like I really have no country, no culture, and no religion, and no mother tongue.
Right.
Wow.
And so I speak every language with a little bit of error.
Right.
And you know what? Who cares?
You're a child of the world. That's yeah. what you are, you know? I mean, and that's difficult. I mean, you don't find a lot of people that can't really plant roots, you know, that can't really... But
there is a gift.
Yes.
I like what you just said about the root, about the seed, you know, that we all have. I had a cell, too, that started my life.
Right.
But what a blessing, in a way, to, you know, I cried for things that make maybe someone's heart ache, you know. I wanted that family. I wanted to be accepted.
Yeah,
I wanted
yeah.
to be more than just tolerated. But you know what? These are the things that, unfortunately, 2017, everyone deals with this.
Yeah,
everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether you're in Syria, whether you're, you know, I open the news, a newspaper every day, and I think, see, this is what I talk about.
Right, right.
That ache that you have. And I love my own quote, which is, nobody strikes coming from a positive place. Nobody.
That's true.
So when you see a person go ballistic off on you, you got it. You got it. And that's why I say my unique perspective is take that step back and say, okay, it's not about you. I wish it was all about you.
My God, I was
but
just,
it isn't.
I was just talking about this with Casey in the elevator. God, that elevator's good. But we're just talking about how okay. He said, someone said something like a couple days ago that really bothered him. And he was like, but I feel bad because I know that guy probably has his own issues to deal with.
Right.
And I was like, man, that's so what I'm studying Buddhism. And like, that's okay. The idea of Buddhism is to get to where you have compassion for someone who spit in your face. Then now that as the enlightened person, I cannot get anywhere close there.
Right.
But every day, if I try even a little bit, it's worth it. So,
but think for example, I'm going to give you a real easy example. Let's take Starbucks. Every day, people have habits, so they go to the same place where they
get the same
Starbucks
coffee.
Or something. Exactly, but the person across from them, they neither tolerate or accept them in their world, but they are serving them. Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
Okay, but what is very, very interesting, and this is like I feel like I'm a huge peeping Tom in the world, but I do it openly and not as a perv.
You observe, you observe people.
That's right.
Okay,
and so. Because I wanted to know if I was so weird, you know?
Totally.
I just did. And so one of the things that I notice, this is worldwide, when that person is gone, then we notice.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
And that's also with your wife or spouse or whoever in your life. When they're gone, you notice. So I always notice. So I was wondering, what is that in me? Very simple. I wanted to be noticed as a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted someone to say, hey, Gabby.
You're pretty.
Gabriella, you're okay. You're weird, but I like you.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, so when I see the Starbucks person and I hear the person in front of me go, where was that girl that was always there? Then I go, okay, now you noticed her.
Mm-hmm.
See, but when she's there, you ignore her. You can't give 2 cents of your time to her.
Mm-hmm.
But that person has a wealth of knowledge and experience to share with you,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's what life is about. It's not about these earth-shattering things. It's about saying that one little thing, like you just said, mm-hmm. I love elevators. And the one little thing at the doctor's office when we're trying to hide behind these magazines mm-hmm. that are 7 years old, yuck, make conversation. When I do it in a doctor's office, you should see people. And I'm really in their face. They don't like it. But you know what? I have something to bring to you. Let me get you not so nervous for the doctor. And let's talk about something.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have more in common than we ever have that separates us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like I can do that because I have one leg in the east and one in the west.
Right.
And I belong to neither.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly. And that's usually, I got to tell you though, because I think usually people like I felt that for many years until the majority of my life has been here. But for many years, when I came from another country, I felt like, where do I really belong? Yeah. I don't belong in either place
right.
somehow.
Because
you know?
You're a lot like this. I was thinking about you. This is a lot kind of similar to your story in terms of...
When you have two cultures.
Two cultures. One in the east, one in the west.
Two countries, and things like that, you know. So, but then you live most of your life in one place. You realize, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I want to be,
mm-hmm.
you know. But so I can totally understand. That's why I can totally relate to your story. Although, my God, I mean, it's like you were destined to be different, to be in situations where you're different. And because, look, you could have easily ended up in a place where people were more like you. You know, they looked more like you. They spoke your language and all that stuff. But you were thrust into situations where you became an outsider, you know?
Yeah.
And you didn't know. And I can imagine as a child, even as an adult, you try to figure out, who am I?
Oh, my God.
But I'm going to give you an adult situation for a second. And I'm going to tell you, real honestly, my gala dress must have looked awful.
Uh-huh.
But I was at this gala in Vancouver. And I was trying to find a spot to put my glass of champagne, my empty glass of champagne. And a guy came up to me. I was in black and white.
Oh, so God. Maybe don't I shouldn't have done.
Yeah,
oh,
you
Jesus.
See it coming.
Immediately.
And he pushes his whiskey glass or whatever it was in my hands and said, thank you.
Oh, my God, you're the waiter.
I do the Canadian way.
Uh-huh.
F-A. Wow. You, oh, my God, I must look really awful. Oh, man. Because I'm a woman. So right. That's the first thing we think.
Uh-huh. So he thought you
and
were the waiter.
And then he looks at me and he goes, well, have you seen anyone brown around here?
Wow.
And then I go, come back, come back. Don't go anywhere. Don't come back. What were you? I got a drink. See, most people... See, I wanted a conversation.
See,
with
yeah,
them.
You see, you're like Casey. See, you can have a conversation. I would be so mad.
For me, and whether I'm enlightened or not, I don't believe it. But I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, right, right.
I've got 700 miles to go.
Go
seven,
right, right.
7 million miles to go.
That's right.
But you know, I am that kind of person. I want to go into a conversation with you because I want to show him how it makes me feel.
Sure, sure.
And I get vulnerable. I mean, there was a tear.
Yeah.
And I said to him, with my voice went shaky, and I said, you know, you made me feel so shitty.
Yeah.
You know, and just understand that my mother is your color.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, and he looked at me, and he said, I'm sorry. And I said, but I don't want you to be sorry.
Right.
I want you to do something else. I want you to understand that I didn't create this color. And when I see myself, I am so lucky that I don't see me.
Right.
You don't see you. So what if I just saw your eyes?
Right.
And could you just now look at me again? Hi, I'm Gabriella.
Wow.
And look at me.
Wow.
And what you see is dark brown eyes that are really passionate.
Right.
Because I do know those eyes speak passion. And I said, and that is an opening for anything.
Wow. What did he say?
He said, got it.
Wow. Now that's a good conversation.
You see, and he took control of the situation completely.
Wow. That is so
But I couldn't do that when I was young.
Sure. Right.
When I was young, I walked away. When I was young, I
you had
was
no tools.
Kind of looking in, and nobody gave me
the
those
tools. Yeah, your parents weren't handing you any tools.
And most of us, when we feel lonely or outcast, we go to our parents or a sister or a brother because they're like us.
Right.
But there was nobody like me.
Yeah. Wow. Let's take a call real quick because somebody probably wants to get in on the conversation. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Hello. You with us?
Hello. Is this Sam?
Yes.
It's Herb Dodell.
Hello.
Herb Dodell. Herb, hold on just a second. Can I call you back? I think there's a mix-up here. I apologize.
Okay, I guess there is. You have my number?
Yes.
Okay, I'll be here.
Thank you. Okay. You know what? I don't know what happened. I'm going to have to... You know what? While we're doing this, I'm going to bring up my... I'm going to bring up my calendar because let me tell you something. I'm really irritated at what has happened here today.
But
anyway, let's get back to Gabriella's conversation because that's what's important. Gabriella, let's continue the story. So how did you end up here in L.A.? I mean, let's move forward. I really want to hear the whole story.
I have lived literally everywhere except in Australia. It's the only continent I've never been to.
So you actually moved around a lot.
I have, yes, because I believe that you search and search high and low, mountain up, mountain down, you search. And I understood the answer was always there.
Yeah.
I just couldn't find it.
Yeah.
The answer is me. I have to accept that I'm weird, that I'm quirky, and that I'm different.
So how did you get there? When was that time? When did you accept?
40.
40. And was it because of 40? Something happened?
Okay, had nothing to do with it. I have a daughter.
Got it.
And my daughter said, I hate you. Like
what?
So many teenagers do. No.
You mean like the teenagers.
Like teenagers.
I know. Wow.
I hate you. Can't stand you. You ruined my life.
Yeah. I did that.
You know, and I took it so personally because here is my first biological family member. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I did everything for you. I gave you a really good life. I was strict, but, you know. And then I went, but wait a second, she's a teenager, but she still hates me. Oh my God, see? And then I realized that it was okay for all the others to hate me.
So it was that.
See, I had accepted that everyone hated me.
Wow.
See, and that's what went,
That's
what?
The clip. That's
you live a life where it's okay, yeah, that people can't stand you, that people don't respect you. And I think I grew, honestly, a whole foot.
Yeah, I'm
I
sure.
I went from 4'11 to 6 feet.
Yeah, wow.
And my long, long heels were swept in into tiny little kitten heels. I changed. There was a total. And then I did things that I would have never done. Wow. I said, kiddo, you don't like me? Go live with your dad.
Wow.
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 I did things that for the first time I stood up.
You had to stand up for yourself.
I said, I won't take it.
Yeah.
Nobody, wow.
Whether you're my daughter or not.
No one will speak to me that way.
Nobody will ever speak to me that way again.
Wow.
I got it.
Wow.
You know?
I hope I get it. I can't wait to get it.
Yeah. Huh?
I can't wait for my click.
And you also get that nothing is important except, and this is a hard one as a Catholic. You have to be kind to you first.
That's Buddhism right there.
And yeah, but you know what? I learned as a good Catholic girl that I have to help you, Sam.
Yes.
Right.
And I have to help you, Tori.
But you never help you.
But you never help you. Right. And then there's something, just so you know, I just want to get that out here because this is something really odd for me, is my dad learned Yiddish when he was younger. I don't know why. Second World War, the Dutch, you know.
Yes.
He had a girlfriend that was Jewish, and
that explains it. Okay.
He saved her, though.
Whoa.
She lives in Canada, is healthy, got married. He helped her when the war broke out.
Right.
And I saw something through my father's Jewish friends, and it was the only culture. And now, as an adult, the second culture is Persians. I'm kind of jealous of those two cultures, and I tell you why. Okay? You guys might have a lot of issues, just like myself.
Right.
But you know, you guys put family first. And that is something I think the West has kind of lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think when I want to be the instigator of kindness, I don't think I know so. That's kind of what I bring back, is can't we just be kind to more than just family,
mm-hmm,
to that stranger at Starbucks, to all of us. Because, you know, we are, you know, just you. And, you know, we're all one paycheck away of being homeless. We're only one family member away from being an orphan.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. So you become a speaker.
Yes.
And why are we being distracted? Do we know who that is?
No.
Oh.
But we waved
we
at
waved
him because
we're kind.
That's what kindness is about.
No, that's not what kindness is about. Let me tell you something, okay? That was rude on his part.
Okay.
Somebody just walked by the studio window, stood there until everybody got distracted and looked at him, and then he took a picture with his phone. I mean, yeah, come on. And I get distracted easily,
you
as
do,
you can
yeah
see. But we're back to Gabriella, because you're fascinating. You got a fascinating story. It's Gabriella Van Ray, for those of us just joining us. Van Ray is V-A-N, and another word, R-I-J. And obviously, Dutch, I picked up on that right away. Because let me tell you why. I lived in South Africa for a year, and many of them speak Dutch there. And Afrikaans sounds like Dutch, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how the letters are pronounced differently. Like V is F, and W is V, and G is H, and F is V. And really,
it's crazy,
right?
That's insane.
So you have to learn that, you know. I mean, it's the same letters as ours, but they are pronounced differently. So did English come easily to you? Where did you learn English?
Actually, it did, because in the orphanage, and this is the crazy story about the Pakistan side, and I can talk about it now because everyone that helped me is dead and they're not worried that they get into prison.
Oh, wow.
And there was a couple that lived there from Britain, and she was a psychologist who wasn't allowed to work, of course, in Pakistan, and he was commissioned by the British to help build Islamabad that didn't exist. That's how old I am. and he
nobody's
was
nobody's older than I am, believe me.
And he
go
was
ahead
an architect.
Right.
And they cared for me. I mean, she volunteered in the orphanage, and she said, there's a funny little girl there. She at least said funny. And she said, and she keeps saying, I want a family. and I know they're waiting.
Mm.
And she thought, wacko, there's a problem. This kid needs real, you know, as a psychologist, she probably thought, oh, God, she needs nurturing. So she spoke English.
Yeah.
And in the orphanage, the nuns were from France and from Belgium.
Mm.
So I had a mix already, very early.
French and English.
And they changed the law. They changed the decree in Pakistan for one day to obtain a passport to get me out.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Adoption was totally illegal.
Wow.
At that time, they got 1966.
You out of
there. Wow. Yes. Wow. So, look, your life is... We have about 5 minutes left, and I want to summarize this. Because this is fascinating.
I'd love to see
your story. Is clearly about overcoming so many adversities. I mean, I can't imagine someone stronger than you. Let's put it that way. Okay, how many languages do you speak?
I speak three fluently. I can dream in them.
Yeah,
read and write, and Spanish.
Yes.
I'm now doing my talks in Spanish.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so many Hispanic children committing suicide. Mm. So I decided
wow.
I had to.
Why do you think that is?
Because they feel like they don't belong.
Like they don't belong. There
and
you
that
go.
They're not
huh?
good enough.
And you're one to recognize that.
Yes.
Wow. So, okay, so tell us what you can do for people. You're a speaker, you're an author, you're an activist for kindness, you're a lot of things. What are you doing these days? What would you like people to know?
Right now, I'm preparing TED Talks.
Nice.
TEDx Talks in different countries. I want to do it in three languages, in three different continents, with three different talks.
Wow.
So I want to teach people how your pain can become your greatest strength.
Right.
I also want to talk about tolerance does not equal acceptance and what that means mm-hmm, to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because we keep thinking tolerant is something good.
Right.
I'm telling you as an experience, it's not good.
To be tolerant?
Yes.
To what?
You want
to
be
tolerance
acceptance.
For me
right.
is just a polite way of being very intolerant.
Okay. All right. Sounds good to me. So listen,
in,
but
in schools,
but you were destined.
LA,
you were destined to teach a lot of people. I mean, it's so clear to me because you've got a story to tell, you know. And not only that, but one thing I wanted to mention, and that is this: we always look. I mean, we're raised as though being different is a bad thing.
Yes.
Right. But then you grow up and you realize, you know what?
It's the only thing you need.
Because that's the only way you're going
to
stand out. If you want to succeed in life when you're an adult, you've got to stand out. You can't be like everybody else. You know? You never see the millions. You see the one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we measure success wrong.
Yeah.
The measurement. We have warped measurements of success of what tolerance means and what is a good person.
Mm.
See, to me, the measurement by my parents that I was taught is money, right? My
right.
job has to
right.
be prestigious right. and I have to wear the right clothes and blah, blah. But to me, if I would call myself successful, is what I do
yeah.
for the children or what I passionately love doing.
Right.
Right?
That right.
you can say that. But
yeah.
not my bank account. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. No. That's a pit. That's not it. I'm sorry.
Well, we need people like you in this world. We need people to show empathy because they know where they came from. That's the most important thing. Empathy,
yeah.
empathy.
Awesome.
And connectivity. We are diverse. We are a melting pot, unwilling to melt.
Mm, I
yeah.
like that.
Well, let's melt. Let's increase the temperature.
Let's do it.
Maybe that's maybe it's a positive side about global warming. We can
yes.
increase the temperature a little bit. Maybe
I think the metaphor is getting
the melting,
screwed up.
The melting.
I like it. We're heating up the stew.
Gabriella Van Ray, you're so inspiring. Thank you so much for joining
so
us
great
this
to
morning.
Thank you for having
Tell
me.
Tell people how they can find you other than Gabriella.global. That's all you have to type in, really.
The easiest is hashtag Dare to Be Kind. It's my ongoing campaign. I do schools pro bono because I want to talk about suicide. I want to give them the four steps, the tools that they need to take ownership of who they are.
That's true.
Yeah. And imagine if you had had that as a kid. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't have tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, I bet not. Yeah. Wow.
So you see, there you go. Instead of being a victim, you've seen a survivor here that can survive just about anything you throw at her. And that's the thing. I think your lesson in life is probably, and you're an old soul, and you were prepared for this. I don't think life gives us more than we can handle. And I think you've accomplished a lot. You know, it doesn't matter. But to me, you're not different. You were just put in the place where you wouldn't normally be expected to be. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's hard for people to see that.
If you were in Pakistan, you wouldn't go through any of this shit. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So there you go. But you were put in situations because that's what life is about, is throwing us into situations, I think, where there's adversity and we overcome it anyway.
Victorious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen Victorious. To me like a freaking modern-day Buddha or something.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. But I mean, I've done some spirituality in my time.
Of course.
You know, and it's... and so I can see these things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's clear to me. And you're amazing. You really are truly amazing. Keep doing the great work you're doing.
Very inspiring.
And everybody support her. So if you just put in the hashtag Dare to Be Kind, we'll find you, right?
Yes,
and then
everywhere.
And then there's links at Gabriela.global. Gabriela, thanks again. Much more success to you. Tori, thank you so much.
Anytime.
And thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.